Greetings, Christian friends. It's a real delight to be together again today for another study in our course. And today's session brings us to lesson number 6. And lesson number 6 in the course, What the Bible Teaches, is found on pages 29, 30, 31, and 32. You have your manual before you, of course, and I assume that it's open at page 29 right now, and you're facing lesson number 6, which is titled, The New Birth. Now, you will see that not only lesson 6, but also lesson 7 have to do with this same subject. This underlines, of course, its tremendous importance. Now, today we'll begin by addressing ourselves to the question, what the new birth is not, and then, secondly, why must a person be born again? But just in case we're wondering what this is all about, perhaps we had better turn to John chapter 3. Now we have our Bibles. We'll turn to the 3rd chapter of the Gospel by John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now these are the first 7 verses of the 3rd chapter of the Gospel by John. And it is of the utmost importance that each of us should have clear understanding as to what our Lord meant and why his insistence upon man receiving a second birth. In verse 7 of John 3, the Lord, evidently detecting a look of amazement on the face of Nicodemus, said, Marvel not, don't be surprised, Nicodemus, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Have you ever noticed the 3 musts in the 3rd of John? Well, there's one in verse 7, and there's one in verse 14, and then there are 2, actually, in verse 30. In John 3:7, we have the sinner's must. Ye must be born again. In John 14, the Savior's must, where he said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the Savior's must. But then in verse 30, we have the servant's must, where John the Baptist, speaking on behalf of all of Christ's servants, says, He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, in order to clear the air, it is well, I think, that we look at this whole subject of the new birth, first of all, from the negative side. In other words, what the new birth is not. And for an explanation of this, as pointed out in the manual on page 29, we'll turn to John 1 and verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You'll notice that there are 3 negatives in verse 13. This explains how men are not born again or born of God. John points out that they're not born of blood. That means, of course, that we do not become children of God by natural generation. My father was a Christian, but that doesn't guarantee that I am a Christian, because I'm born into and reared in a Christian home. Doesn't guarantee my salvation by way of inheritance. No, it's not of blood. Then again, it's not because of the will of the flesh. This simply means that we do not become Christians by self-determination. And finally, John points out that the new birth is not the result of the will of man. Not of blood, number one, nor of the will of the flesh, number two, nor of the will of man, number three. That is, we do not become children of God by human mediation, by submission to religious ordinances, ceremonies, formulae, and so on, mediated to us by religious dignitaries. So much for the negative side of it. Now, again, why must I be born again? What is the basic reason for this? Well, we're taught in the manual and from the Word of God that the basic fundamental reason for the necessity of the divine birth lies in the fact that man does not possess a spiritual nature. Now, by way of confirmation of that statement, look at Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, when Paul says the carnal mind, he simply means the natural mind, the mind of the flesh, what we inherited by reason of our association with Adam. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's a very strong but very true statement of fact. And then, take again 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Here is another reason why the new birth is an imperative. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And once again, I turn to another declaration, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Writing to believers, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that man, by nature, does not possess the new life. And again, because, after all, it's a spiritual kingdom into which we're introduced by the new birth. The first birth introduced us to a physical kingdom. The second birth introduces us into a spiritual kingdom. By reason of my first birth, my natural birth, I entered the kingdom of man. But by the second birth, this miraculous birth from God, I enter a spiritual kingdom, of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. Ye must be born again. No self-improvement, no submission to religious ordinances can affect this heaven-begotten thing any more than scrubbing a mud floor will produce a beautiful floor. It only, as a matter of fact, makes the mud more obvious. I remember some years ago operating a large tent in which some evangelistic services were being conducted in a certain northern town. We were having great meetings there until there came suddenly, with little warning, a small tornado. That sudden, very powerful storm burst upon the town and did considerable damage, and our tent was not left unscathed. As a matter of fact, a very large rip was found from the top of the tent right down to the side. Well, I went to the nearest tent firm, which is about 10 miles away, and checked on it, and they told me I could patch it. And so I returned to the tent with some helpers, with a very large patch and certain adhesive bits of equipment and so on, and we tried to patch the tent. Well, we did, and we were proud of our work, and so we prepared for the resumption of the meetings. But you know what happened? A few days later, another storm hit the town, just as severe, if not more severe, than the first. And this time, it finished the tent. It removed the patch and made several other holes and did considerable damage. Crestfallen and disappointed, I returned to the tent manufacturer and told him my story. He said, I'd like to see a sample of the cloth of the duct. And then he turned to me and said, Mister, what you need is not a new patch. You need a new tent. The tent is worn out. Man by nature is like that old tent, and no amount of religious patches will ever make it a new tent. You see, that's what the Lord said to Nicodemus. It's not a religious patch you need. You need a new tent altogether. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now then, I know that you'll study carefully this lesson, looking up all the references. And then, too, I invite you to glance at lesson number 7. And thus you'll be prepared for our study on the next occasion when we're together. May the Lord bless you as you now apply yourself to the test following lesson number 6.